Jenkins has quite a flock of geese. And since Christmas is coming, he's sprinkling double the amount of feed for his finely feathered meal tickets.
Yes, that's right. You poor fools, eat. Eat. Eat away, yes. Yes, here's some more for you and for you. And you. And you. Let no one say that I am a stingy man, for this is my Christmas present to you. Before I remove your pea-brained heads from your miserable necks. Good riddance to such ridiculous animals, I say. I won't miss your wretched honking for a moment. No, I won't. The only thing you're good for is to be roasted and stuffed. But let me not be so unkind. After all, I have already received a considerable amount of pre-orders from all the town butchers. Yes, I found homes for you all. Now eat! 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 Get nice and fat.
Hours later, Farmer Jenkins' wife, Mabel, comes searching for her husband, who has not returned home for supper.
Charles? Charles, are you here? Charles, are you in the barn, my dear? Why are all the geese still in the pen? Weren't you supposed to cut the heads from...
The largest of the geese parts from the flock and waddles menacingly toward good Farmer Jenkins' wife, Mabel.
No! What is that? Is that? In your beak?
Why, it looks like... a ring? Oh, a wedding band, to be specific. How strange. There's no other sign of Farmer Jenkins. In fact, they never did find anything else other than his wedding band in the goose's beak that chilly December evening. All those years ago. Not a scrap of clothing, or even a drop of his blood. No, no one knows for sure what happened to Farmer Jenkins that day, for he was never seen again. But we do know this. His geese were especially fat that Christmas season. This is Fireside Mystery Theater. Silva, coming to you live from the fabulous Slipper Room right here in the heart of New York City. Thanks for joining us. Happy holidays, season's greetings, friends. Tonight, we are hitching our sleigh to your wildest nightmares and your iciest fears. You think there's nothing to be afraid of during this warm and festive season of giving that so many of us love so dearly? Think again, for even the brightest of Christmas lights can still cast the darkest of shadows. Let's throw another log on the fire. Ah, listen to that sound. The crackling of the hearth. Can you feel that special, one-of-a-kind warmth? The scent, like incense, of burning firewood. Are you nice and comfy? Good. Those of you listening at home, have you turned the lights down yet? Well, you can leave the Christmas tree lights on. That's perfectly all right. Take in the luminescence of the Christmas lights and the glow of the flickering embers as we hand deliver your first present. A sinister little stocking stuffer, a story called simply, You Will Be Visited by Three Ghosts.
Ships come sailing in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day.
Sorry, do excuse me.
Miss, would you...
I have no money for you, miss.
Oh, just a halfpenny, my dear.
Please, can't you see I have a train to catch?
Oh, miss, but you do have the time, don't you? The 6:19 to Winchester don't leave here for a bit, which leaves you more than enough time to spare a coin for someone as cold and hungry as I am.
How do you know I have a ticket for the 6:19 to Winchester?
Oh, pretty clever, am I, eh? Yeah, neat little trick, eh? How would I know that? Well, that's worth at least a shilling, wouldn't you say?
Well, it appears you've been following me. Were you spying over my shoulder when I was at the ticket window?
Oh, I'm not much of a spy now, I would say, miss.
Where is the station master when you need him?
Not even an halfpenny. On Christmas Eve, no less. Have you no heart for the less fortunate? Miss Candace?
Now, you tell me this instant. What is all this? How do you know my name?
Oh, it's just that you have a face like a Candace to me, I suppose.
And you, to me, have the face of a peddler and a con artist. For your sake, I hope you better hope that I don't see a policeman.
Oh, now, is that the way to talk to a destitute and aged person on Christmas Eve? Can't you appreciate a little magic when you see it, Candace, my dear?
Please, would you just leave me in peace?
Going to see that family of yours up in Winchester, eh? For Christmas dinner? To smooth things over, eh?
Now that's quite enough. What do you know of my affairs?
Oh, that's not all I know.
What on earth do you mean?
Things may get a bit odd today, my good lady.
I don't think I like your tone, miss.
It's not for you to like, my dear. Do you realise that today will be a very special day for you? Very special indeed, love. For you will be visited by three ghosts.
Oh my!
And why are you laughing?
Oh, come now. I'm afraid I've read that story.
Oh, it's nothing at all like that story.
The 6:19. That's me. Here, you crazy fool. Happy Christmas.
Oh, that's quite generous of you, quite generous. I hope to repay you sometime soon, dearie. Yes, sometime very soon.
A ticket, please, miss.
Oh, one moment.
I know, hurry, miss. As you can see, not many passengers on this train.
Yes, I did notice. Is there anyone else on this train? I saw no one else get on when I boarded, and I saw no one inside any of the compartments.
Well, to tell you the truth, you are the only passenger so far. I'm afraid it's pretty much just you, me, and the engine driver. Very odd, I must admit, especially for Christmas Eve.
I'll say. Considering it's Christmas Eve, this train should be packed.
Is there something wrong, miss?
My handbag. Where's my handbag?
I do hope that your ticket was not in there.
My handbag. That beggar woman. Oh, blast!
Beggar woman, miss?
All my money, my ticket, all my personal effects.
Pinched, eh? How about that?
This is most embarrassing. I suppose I shall have to get off at the next stop, then.
Chuck you off the train on Christmas Eve? Nonsense. I'll do no such thing, especially to a nice young lady as yourself. I'll tell you what. Let me take a look around. Perhaps you dropped it somewhere as you came in.
Oh, I suppose I should do that as well. It's the least I should do.
No, no, please. It would be my pleasure. You seem a bit tired. We still have a ways to go. You go ahead and take a kip, miss.
Well, in truth, I do feel so terribly tired, sir.
Close your eyes, miss. Dream those dreams. Sugar plum fairies and all. I'll check in later.
Yes. I feel so sleepy.
Sleep then. Sleep.
I'm sorry, my dear. Didn't mean to wake you.
Oh, Uncle Joe! How long have you been here?
I got on only a few stations ago. There's no other passengers on this train, so you were quite easy to spot.
Oh, it's so strange, isn't it? How is it possible that all the rail cars are empty but for us?
Well, I must say I, for one, prefer it. The train being empty, I mean.
How are you, dear Uncle Joe? I hope you've been feeling better. Are you taking care of yourself?
My best years may be behind me. But I suppose I'm all right. Now, could be better, to be truthful. This Christmas family gathering at my sister's does nothing for my health and disposition, let me tell you.
I know. I feel the same as you do. Hopefully we can come to an agreement and settle the affairs of the estate once and for all.
And perhaps learn to be a family once again. Like when my sister and I were children. You know, it's the new generation that seems to have complicated things. Your generation, Candace, I'm afraid to say.
Uncle Joe, it serves no purpose to start a row right here and now. We shall all discuss the matter peacefully and calmly after dinner tomorrow night.
Now, why is it that you and your generation only wish to tear things down? Are there not things in this world that are worth preserving? God knows Hitler and his baddies destroyed enough as it was. God knows that...
Got nothing about the modern world and the need for change. Like I said, Uncle Joe, let's not argue here.
Oh, I don't think we could if we wanted to. Looks like we've arrived at Winchester at last.
Uncle Joe, have you seen the conductor anywhere?
Only when I sat here, not any time since.
I suppose he didn't have my handbag. It may have been lost or stolen.
No, sorry to hear that. Just dreadful, afraid I didn't see him.
Uncle Joe, are you going directly to Aunt Selma's?
I was going to pick up a fine bottle of claret for dinner first. In truth, the claret may end up being more for me than anyone else. Would you care to join me?
If it's all right with you, I'm still very, very tired. May I borrow some money for a taxi?
Well, certainly. It's only a matter of time until you have the rest of my money anyhow.
I will pay you back, Uncle Joe. Every penny.
Here you are. Go along now, Candace. I shall see you at the house.
Thank you, sir.
Candace!
Aunt Selma! Are you all right? What's the matter? Come in. Come in.
You look like you've been crying, Aunt Selma.
My poor brother.
Uncle Chip, what's happened?
When he arrived here last night.
Last night? Why, I just...
Oh, he looked terribly ill. I knew something was very, very wrong. Go.
How could he...
He screamed in agony all through the night.
Aunt Selma, what has happened to Uncle Joe?
He's dead.
Dead?
We just found him a few moments ago. My poor, poor brother.
That just can't be. I'd like to see him. To pay my respect.
He is in his room. At the end of the hallway.
Thank you. I don't quite understand how this happened. But it's all for the best, I suppose. Sorry, Uncle Joe. You had a good run, but the time has come for change. Most welcome change.
Have a glass of claret with me, will you, Candace?
Here's your purse, miss. You left it on the train. Hopefully your ticket is still inside of it.
You see! Three ghosts! I told you! I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day in the morning.
Ships all three on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. What was in those ships all three on Christmas Day in the morning?
That was the incredible Miss Nicole Zoraitis and her own haunting rendition of the old English carol, I Saw Three Ships. And now this word from one of our sponsors.
peace on earth and goodwill to all men.
That is, unless you are responsible for causing damage or injury to one of my clients! Then you best believe you're gonna pay! I'm done! The truth of Duluth, Delilah, Grossberger, and Associates! I'm here to take your call anytime, and I mean anytime! Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, all 8 nights of Hanukkah, and whatever day it is they celebrate Kwanzaa, I don't care! I will personally pick up the receiver to hear your story and help you to settle the scores!
When my grandmother ran over both my legs with her wheelchair, like a flash, Duluth, Delilah, and Grossberger were there for me. We took Grandma down like a circus clown. Time to pay up, Grandma!
I just wanted to pet the nice grizzly bear at the zoo, and whoop, suddenly my hand was gone. Thanks, Duluth, Delilah, and Grossberger, for helping me to bring that zoo to justice.
If you've been hurt by anything, a doctor, a hospital, car accident, a defective drug or medical device, a nursing home, a slip or fall, expired dairy products, you may be entitled to a big fat wad of American currency. And remember our slogan, if you don't make any, we don't take a penny. We're Duluth.
Delilah.
And Grossberger.
If you're in pain,
we make it rain.
And that concludes Act One of our program. Now would be the perfect opportunity to steady your nerves and step to the bar for a tasty beverage lovingly made by our trusted bartenders. Judging by what we have in store for you in Act Two, you might want to ask them to make you a particularly strong one. Welcome back, Yuletide revelers. While you were refilling your glasses at the bar, another hand for the great bar staff here. They're so cute. We stoked the fire a bit more to stir up and conjure the spirits for this act. Are any of you aware of the mythical beast called the Krampus? Johnny, please show us an image. Here we are, yes. For the fine people listening at home, Google search will have to do. Look at that, look. Ghastly and horrible, don't you think? If you can believe, in many countries in Europe, the legend of the Krampus is used to terrify so-called bad children at Christmas time. On the evening of the 5th of December, St. Nicholas Day, the Krampus, this hairy, horned demon with cloven feet, sharp teeth, long tongue. Well, he comes looking for bad children to steal away into the Black Forest. Sorry? Well, it's pretty jolly stuff, regardless. I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear what you were saying, but as Fireside Mystery Theater has for you, an exclusive, we've invited a couple of Krampuses.
Krampi, that's how you pluralize it.
Sorry, Krampi. Well, we have here with us a couple of Krampi from Fishkill, New York. Hans and Judy Krampus.
Hi.
Hi.
So, you two are retired Krampuses. Krampi, sorry.
That's all right, it happens all the time.
Yeah, we live in a Krampus retirement community upstate. Very nice facility.
Lots of parking, too. Lots of parking. Decent golfing.
Oh, okay. Well, so I would love to talk more about life back in the day when you used to terrify so many children.
Please, let's not forget an important detail you left out there.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
You said children.
Oh, these were bad children.
Oh, the worst.
Oh, they had it coming.
Believe me, when we cast them up and shoved them into our baskets to go to the Black Forest, not even their parents took issue with it.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I think we should have taken some of their parents along for the ride, too.
Yeah, like our insurance would have covered that. Fat chance.
Oh, Hans, Judy, we don't have a lot of time left, so now the two of you have scared kids... Bad kids. Mm-hmm. For years you've been doing this. So do you have any regrets at all?
You know, I was just talking about this with a hobgoblin the other day.
You mean Jerry Hobgoblin?
No, Fred. Fred Hobgoblin. You know, the one with the bad overbite.
Oh, yeah, Fred.
Well, I was saying to Fred that I wish that while we were younger, we could have gotten in on that Halloween racket. I mean, we just never really fit into the whole Christmas scene.
Oh, tell me about it. Red-nosed reindeers and all those other losers. Never could relate to them.
Dreadful. Screaming boars. Happy all the time.
You know, usually that is a mask for depression. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have. Thanks, Hans and Judy Krampus.
Can we plug our basket weaving website?
We weave them so they fit bad kids just perfectly.
And you could also put flowers or potpourri in there, too. We weave them with our own claws. Just go to crampbasket.com.
Thank you, guys. Hans and Judy Krampus, everyone. Give them a hand. Margaret Fuller once wrote, "A house is not a home unless it contains food and fire for the mind, as well as the body." Well, our next terse tale, "A Fine Furnished House," takes us to a home that has ample food and fire for the mind, but the fire is piping hot and the food a bit too spicy for the average palate. It all begins, quite simply, with the ring of an ordinary doorbell.
Do you think anyone's here? I can't tell if there are any lights on inside.
Someone's Buick is in the driveway, and we're here right on time. Just give it a minute.
Hello? Anyone home?
Oh, sorry, kids. Takes me a little to get up and go in now. Oh,
our apologies for all the knocking. We thought maybe no one was here.
Hello, ma'am. Are you Mrs. Randall's? We spoke on the phone. I'm Felix, and this is my wife, Joanna.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Come right on in. Sorry it's a bit cold in here. Pilot light's gone out. Place hasn't warmed up quite yet. Just got here an hour ago myself.
Better than the weather out here. It's near freezing, and it's such a beautiful house. I wouldn't mind a few drafty nights if it meant we could live here.
We were very intrigued by your ad. Have you had many inquiries?
Oh, well, not as many as you think. I knew it was an odd time of year to list a rental property, but we wanted to make sure we got tenants before the winter really set in. A lot of maintenance for an empty house, especially for an old gal like me.
Oh, Felix, it's just as beautiful inside as it is out. Oh, the furniture is exquisite.
Indeed. Quite a lot of expensive kindling in here.
Well, it comes with the place. The house is fully furnished.
Oh, my goodness. It just keeps getting better and better.
Hey, sweetheart, come look at this mantelpiece.
Go on and take a look around, kids. If you don't mind, I'll stay here in the sitting room.
My knee has been giving me a tad trouble with the cold. You just come on back here with any questions that you have.
Thank you, Mrs. Randalls. Mm. To be honest, we're a little desperate. You know, both of our families are coming out to us for Christmas this year, and it's just 2 weeks away. And I told Felix, there's just no way I'm hosting anyone in that little apartment we've had for the last few years, so...
Joanna? Ah, there you are. Let's take a look around so we don't take up too much of Mrs. Randall's time. I'm sure she has other things to do.
You kids, well, you just take your time.
Let's take a look at the kitchen.
Did I hear you say the word desperate back there?
Yeah. I was just telling her it's so close to Christmas and both of our families are coming and the apartment is too small.
Babe, don't you know the first rule of real estate is not to seem too eager? She's gonna think she can charge us anything she wants with you jumping up and down like a puppy over some dusty old antiques. And it's so very musty in here. And it smells dank, like there's mildew.
I'm sorry, darling, but I cannot have my mother over to our apartment, much less your mother and the whole crew. A little air freshener will do the trick, just trust me.
Perhaps, but let's not jump the gun here. The ad said terms were negotiable. But if this old Victorian comes with the furniture, too, I'm betting it's going to blow our budget.
Well, let's just see. Oh, my God! Look at that beautiful stained glass over the staircase!
Did you two find everything all right? Have any questions for me?
Found everything just fine. We don't... need all the furniture here. If we don't take it, could you maybe give us a break on the rent?
Oh, that would be such a shame. It all really suits the house.
Your wife is a woman of taste, Felix.
Yes. Her taste has cost me dearly in the past, and I think it's going to again.
Felix, I'm sorry. I can't help it. Mrs. Randalls, it is such a beautiful home. I'm already decorating it for Christmas in my mind.
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, it would be a bit of a burden for me to arrange to have everything all moved out. It's easier to leave everything as is, you know.
Well, I can understand your position, Mrs. Randalls.
Thank you, my dear. My sister loved this house. And I'd hate to see it go to someone who didn't appreciate it. I hear renters can be a little careless. I want someone living here who will treat it like their own.
And what might that cost, Mrs. Randalls? The ad said terms were negotiable. But why don't we get down to brass tacks? How much is Joanna's good taste going to cost me this time?
Oh, well, your wife seems very taken with the place. Joanna, you remind me so much of my sister. God rest her soul. She loved the finer things in life. She spent her whole existence making this house into her own little palace. She lived here for many decades, you know. It may be a little selfish or unreasonable of me, but whenever I walk inside this place, she is alive again. Oh, I hate the thought of this little piece of her vanishing from the earth. At least while I'm alive.
Oh, that is so lovely. You just broke my heart. I'm sorry if this is a sore subject, but did she pass recently?
About a month ago. But not to worry, there are no ghosts here. Well, not hers, anyway. She died in the hospital.
So you two were very close, huh?
We didn't speak for many years. I only saw her in the final days. We had something of a reconciliation, I suppose you could say. Those last moments you have with someone, make the most of them, especially if they are family. Life is too short, eh?
We're very sorry to hear that, Mrs. Randall said. Just the same, it must be difficult to let strangers into your sister's house so soon after her death.
Oh, well, seeing your wife so excited about the place does my old heart good. Which is why I'd like to offer you folks a rental agreement that's a little unorthodox.
Oh? What might that entail?
Well, I'm the owner of the house now, but I can't really offer much maintenance in my condition. I care about this place, but I prefer my bungalow across town. I always admired my sister's home, but it was never my style. But I don't want to sell it quite yet. So here's the deal. You live here and look after everything. Make sure the pilot light stays on and all that. Winterproof the garden. Make sure everything stays clean and the furniture stays in good shape. And it's yours to stay in.
For how much? I mean, will we be getting a break on the rent since we'd be putting all this work into the place?
As long as you agree to those stipulations, you can stay here rent-free.
Oh! Felix! Oh! Mrs. Randalls! You don't know how much this means to me! Oh, Felix, just imagine opening up our Christmas presents by that fireplace!
Oh. That's a really good offer, Mrs. Randalls. I think we'll have to take it, or else I'll be hanging my stocking from the doghouse.
Mm-hmm.
When can we move in?
Oh, any time at all. Here are the keys. So you kids, you move in whenever you want. Just give me a call when you're settled in, and I'll show you the boiler room and the garden shed and everything you'll need to know to get through the winter.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Randalls. This is the best Christmas present ever. We'll take really good care of the house.
Oh, well, I hope so. Merry Christmas, kiddos. Enjoy, and I'll see you soon.
Honey! Felix, are you down there?
Yeah, in the basement. Come down here. I have something to show you.
Okay, coming. I made us some hot chocolate.
Hey, sweetheart. Hot chocolate would hit the spot. There's a bit of a chill down here.
What's in all the boxes?
That's what I wanted to show you. Looks like we can have an old-fashioned Christmas in our old-fashioned house. Look! Vintage Christmas decorations! And almost all the lights still work.
Oh, how quaint! Oh, I love those old big bulbs. How many strands are there?
Enough to cover this artificial tree. It looks like all the parts are here, too.
My grandmother had a tree like this, with the flocking to make it look like snow. Oh, Felix, I just know this Christmas is going to be perfect.
Well, if you take the hot chocolate back upstairs, I'll bring all these boxes up. I'm just glad I didn't have to get our own Christmas decorations from the mini storage. I have to unpack the whole thing to get them out.
Okay, I'll meet you upstairs.
Great-looking tree.
Our families are going to love it. I'm surprised how many of these glass ornaments are intact. They're so delicate-looking. I particularly love this set of animal-shaped glass ornaments. They're so adorable.
Oh, here's one more. This little fishy-shaped guy. Can you put it near the top? I see a bit of a gap there.
Sure, just let me...
Here, catch.
Oh! Felix! Why on earth would you throw a glass ornament? Oh, no, it's in a million pieces.
I said catch. It's fine, honey. There are plenty more ornaments.
So much for taking care of the place for Mrs. Randalls. I hope that wasn't a rare Tiffany's Christmas ornament or something. Oh, I'm going to get a broom.
It's out in the tool shed. I'll get it. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I was just having a little fun. I got carried away.
Hey, wait a second. What's that?
Looks like a... tiny little piece of packing paper.
No, it has something typewritten on it. It looks like it might have been in the ornament.
Oh, cool. I wonder if it'll have a fortune on it. What does it say? This typeface is so tiny, I can hardly see it in this light.
Here, give it to the person with the good eyesight, Magoo. Eileen is here?
Eileen? Who's Eileen?
I don't know. What was the name of Mrs. Randall's sister, the one who owned the place?
I don't think she said.
Oh, wait. Do you think this is a message from the other side?
Don't be ridiculous. You're probably right, just a bit of packing paper. So many of these ornaments are wrapped in newspaper and such, I bet they just grab whatever paper was on hand at the time.
Ghosts of Christmas past won't scare us. Come on, honey, let's go to bed. It's almost midnight. We can clean up all the boxes and paper tomorrow.
Look how beautifully the tree glows with the lights out. Yes. This will be a very special Christmas for us.
Hello there, neighbor.
Oh, hi. My name's Felix Rogers.
Huh. I'm Louise Tucker. Been living here next door to this house all my life. That's a long time, you know.
Oh, we just moved in here yesterday. My wife Joanna and I were staying here temporarily.
Oh, that's so, huh? Did you know Carol?
Carol?
Carol Handy. The lady whose house you're now living in temporarily.
Oh, no. We've just been dealing with her sister.
All right. Trudy Randalls. You know, those two didn't get along for
Mrs. Randalls, Trudy told us all about it.
And Carol's son, Arlen?
Never mentioned anything about a son. Did he live here too?
Yeah, he did. Apparently that's what all the fighting was about all those years. It wasn't until he died that the two began to speak again.
Difficult guy, this Arlen, huh?
Eh, I don't know. He seemed all right to me, but I never did talk to him much. Kind of a lost soul, always lived at home with his mother. Right to the very end.
When did he die?
Such a long time ago, I can hardly remember. 15, 20 years, maybe. His mom outlived him by quite a few.
He died young, huh?
Yeah. Some sort of bizarre infection did him in? I'm not quite sure. It came as a surprise to us all.
That's terrible. Mrs. Tucker, pardon me, but my wife is anxiously awaiting my return. Not because she misses me, but because I'm carrying all these groceries she wants to make dinner out of. You should come over for coffee sometime soon.
Wow, that's very neighborly of you. You know, of all the years Carol Handy lived in that house, I never once set foot in her place. I have no idea what it looks like from the inside.
Really? You're her next-door neighbor, and you never went...
Yeah. She never invited me in. Not once.
Well, there should be a first time for everything. We'll let you know soon. Happy holidays, Mrs. Tucker.
Oh, just call me Louise. That's very sweet of you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I'm home. Lines at the supermarket and the hardware store were unbelievable. Must be all those last-minute Christmas shoppers.
In here. Dinner's almost finished. Did you get the part for the furnace and the red potatoes?
Yep, I got everything on the checklist. Hey, sweetheart. Dinner smells delicious. You know I love your pot roast.
Smells even better in this adorable kitchen, right? Pass me those red potatoes, dear.
After dinner, I need to see if I can get that furnace fixed. Has it been making any more noise while I was gone?
No, I don't think so, but I've been unpacking up in the bedroom while the roast was in the oven, so I might not have heard the clanging.
Well, I think tightening up some screws might do the trick. But if it doesn't, I got a pilot light replacement tube. And that might be what was giving Mrs. Randall's trouble when we came to see the house. Oh, I just met our next door neighbor as I was coming in.
Oh, yeah?
Mrs. Tucker. Oh, what was her first name again? Dang, the short-term memory. Louise. That was it. Nice old lady.
Haven't seen her around yet.
I said we'd invite her over for coffee sometime.
Why, that was very nice of you.
Must be the spirit of Christmas.
It's the one time of year you're nice to people, huh?
Don't worry, it'll pass.
Like a kidney stone. Did she dish any dirt? You know old ladies are the best at doing that. Did you tell her about the Christmas ornament and the message in it? Speak of the devil! Oh no! I bet that was one of those ornaments.
I'll go get the broom.
No need, it's still in the living room from last night.
Yep, you're right. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. It was that little hummingbird one you liked so much.
Felix?
Yeah? Oh, be careful, you're barefoot. Stay where you are, I'll get this cleaned up.
Felix, there's another one of those little fortune papers. It looks like it was inside of the ornament, like the one we found last night. What does it say?
Let me see. Wait, let me put my glasses on. It says, Mary is here.
What do you think it means?
Mary, Eileen.
Who are they? Who could they be?
I've no idea. I mean, Mrs. Randall's name is Trudy. Her sister's name was Carol. Mm-hmm. Louise next door gave me all that info. Joanna, I need you to do me a favor.
Sure.
I'm going to remove all the glass ornaments from the tree, the ones from the same set these two came from, the animal-shaped ones.
Okay.
While I'm doing that, can you bring me a few bath towels and place them on the dining room table?
What are you doing?
Just trust me. Yeah, sorry. But look!
Another piece of paper.
What does that one say?
Janice is here. Creepy!
Well, there's something else. Really small. Looks like a little bird bone.
Felix, this isn't funny!
I'm not laughing.
Felix, are you really going to destroy all of these ornaments? They reminded me of the glass menagerie. And there aren't that many of them.
This giraffe is next.
This is crazy! I won't willingly be a part of you helping you to smash these beautiful ornaments. They're not even ours. They're rented ornaments.
Oh. Aha! Look! Yet another piece of paper. It says, Sally is here. And there's a fine dust inside this one.
Felix, I don't like this. Please stop. Can't we call Mrs. Randall's? What if they're keepsakes? They must have been specially made. We could be destroying their family heirlooms. Okay, so they have weird, creepy messages and stuff hidden inside, but that doesn't mean that there are...
Last one, the bear. And sure enough, bingo. This one says Christine is here. And check this out. What does this look like to you?
Oh, it looks like fingernail clippings.
Yeah, it does. Hey, what's that in your hand?
Felix, come on, this isn't solving anything.
Joanna, give it to me. It's the last animal ornament. Maybe it'll have a clue.
Please let me keep this one. It's so cute.
It's a pig with a bow on it.
Isn't it adorable? You know I love pigs.
Since when?
Since forever.
Oh, hand it over. Give it to me.
I won't. Let me keep it. This is ridiculous. Oh, ouch. Look what you made me do. This glass is so delicate, I accidentally crushed it in my hand.
Did you get cut?
Just a little nick on the palm. I'll go wash it.
What does it say? There's another piece of paper.
The furniture is where?
Is that a question?
You tell me, detective. That was supposed to be the final clue, right?
Go clean your hand.
Yes, doctor.
Let me know if you solve the mystery, sweetheart. Felix? Felix? Felix?
It's all right.
I don't like that look on your face. Oh! What are you doing? Stop! Stop that! Are you insane?
The furniture is where? The furniture is where they are. Eileen, Mary, Sally...
Stop ripping the sofa!
I can't believe it.
My gut instinct was right.
Felix, what does this all mean? How could there have been corpses rotting inside all of the living room furniture and nobody noticed?
I'm not sure. Well, take the body in the couch here. I mean, looks like it's been inside this couch for a very long time. Maybe decades. Each of the skeletons has a tag tied to the ankle bone. This is Eileen, apparently.
I'm so scared right now.
This is all starting to make sense. Our next door neighbor, she said that Carol had a son, Arlen.
A son? Maybe he did it.
That's what I'm guessing. Serial killers like this tend to be men.
But what if he comes looking for us? Shouldn't we call the police?
No, he won't come looking for us. He's dead now.
How do you know that?
Mrs. Tucker told me that, too. He died like 15 years ago.
This can't be happening. Let's call the police, or at least Mrs. Randall's.
I will. Give me a little bit. These murders all happened, like, a long time ago, and the killer who did this is most likely dead. There's no thing anyone can do about it now.
Why are you being so calm about this? There are dead bodies in our furniture!
It's surreal. I found all the girls whose names were on the little papers inside the ornaments except one. Janice.
Well, call the police and let them find Janice.
Where are you going?
Upstairs.
Don't leave me down here by myself.
Well, come with me then.
No, I'm calling the police. Please stay down here.
I just have a feeling the last body is upstairs. You know what I've noticed? I have not been able to get comfortable on the mattress in our bedroom.
You aren't saying.
I'm gonna find out.
You've gone insane. You're in shock, Felix. Just please sit down.
Where? On one of the dead bodies in our living room? I'll be right back. Hey, I just realized something. There's one more animal ornament. Remember the dove ornament? The one you put in the wreath you made? Joanna? Joanna? Hey, Joanna! Joanna, where are you? Answer me! Oh, yikes! Just stepped on it. Ah, jeez. I don't see a slip of paper, though. Oh, wait. Found it. Stuck to the bottom of my shoe. Let me get that there. What's this one say? Oh, this damn ring is so small. Let me put on my glasses. It says, Joanna is here? What? What?
And now a word from one of our sponsors.
Hey, honey bunny. You realize we're both standing underneath the mistletoe?
I'm James.
You know what that means, right?
Yeah, you need to take a shower. And brush your teeth. Oh, God,
Mistletoe fail. Don't let this happen to you, fellas, with Clawclex's new mistletoe-scented body spray and breath freshener. You heard right, a 2-in-1 breath and body spray. First spray that sexy mistletoe scent on your body, and then use the same spray in your mouth for kissable holiday freshness. Here, James, why don't you try replaying that scene all over again? Here's a can just for you.
Thanks. So I spray my underarms and use the same spray for my breath?
You got it. Now go get 'em, Tiger.
Hey, babe, how about some eggnog?
Oh, it's beginning to smell a lot like Christmas, handsome.
New Clawclex Mistletoe Breath and Body Spray. Stuff it in his stocking this Christmas. You'll be glad you did.
A quote from David Grubbs, The Night of the Hunter. Lord save the little children. You'd think the world would be ashamed to name such a day as Christmas for one of them, and then go on in the same old way. My soul is humble when I see the way little ones accept their lot. Lord, save the children. The wind blows and the rains are cold, yet they abide. They abide and they endure. Our last tale is something of a Christmas fable that will ask us to take these words to heart. We call it A Voice from Afar.
Many years ago, in a sleepy village so tiny it could not be found on any map, there lived a little orphan girl who sold flowers she made from tissue paper.
Flowers. Flowers for sale. Who will buy my lovely flowers?
It was bitterly cold that Christmas Eve, and her little feet were blue and frostbitten from standing all evening in the snow. Hardly a soul was out on the street, and only the bakery was still open.
Sir, I know I've already asked you several times. I'm sorry, but since it is Christmas Eve, could I have just one piece of bread? I would be so happy to give you some of my flowers in return.
Little girl, you know that I would, but I can't.
I'm ever so grateful for the piece of bread you gave me this afternoon. God bless you, sir. But if there was even a small crust that you could spare...
I'm sorry. Business has been bad for us. Just terrible.
Like I said, I would be happy to give you one of my flowers in return. They're so pretty. I make them myself. And they'd be a nice present for
little girl, your wife. Little girl, how many times must I tell you? Get out! We're closed.
I sold no flowers tonight, and I'm so
hungry. Stop! Just stop. I don't want to hear any more of this. We hardly sold anything today either. We're hungry too, you know.
I'm sorry, ma'am. There's nothing else open in the village, otherwise I wouldn't trouble you.
Well, troubling us is exactly what you're doing.
I'm sorry, child. I think it's best that you leave. This is actually a very difficult night for my wife and me. Perhaps come back tomorrow.
No! 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 Don't ever come back! Can't you see my husband? She will come here every morning, and every morning we'll end up giving her another piece of bread, and it will never end. We won't stop being poor, and she'll never stop being hungry. The next time I see you peddling your paper petals in front of our shop, I will call out for the constable. For the last time, just get out! Get out! Out! Just out you go!
It might be hard to believe, but at one time, the little flower girl lived in a fine house with her beloved father and mother on a spacious farm on a town far away. She learned to read and write and to count to 100 and was even taught to dance the waltz. But when her parents both died of fever, the orphan girl was apprenticed to a clothesmaker, a terrible monster of a man, in whose shop she made her paper flowers by day and sold them by night. She preferred to be alone and freeze outside than to return home and receive his brutal and constant floggings.
I'm so cold, so hungry. How will I survive? I can't go back to my master, for he will beat me since I sold no flowers tonight. Nowhere to go for Christmas, and no one to love me. What is there to live for?
Stars are brightly shining.
What is that? Oh my. How beautiful is that sound? Where is it coming from? I must tell the baker and his wife.
You.
Hey, you mustn't hit her like that.
No, listen.
You get out. Get out. Get out. I never want to see your face here again.
But listen, ma'am, listen.
No, you listen. If I see you even one more time.
Hey, wait. What is that?
Hey, what's all this commotion?
Oh, Constable, can you please rid us of this terrible beggar girl?
But listen!
Okay, little girl, I know it's Christmas Eve and all, but I'll need you to move along. Have you anywhere to go, young miss?
Hold on, everyone! Listen!
I hear nothing.
Yes! Yes, listen close!
Who could be singing at this hour? Past curfew? Sure to receive complaints.
It's beautiful.
Yes, it is. But where is it coming from?
Could it be?
It sounds so much like it.
Is it possible?
So you recognize the voice?
It can't be.
Maybe you should ride with me. I may need you to identify this person. My horse and buggy are right over there.
Yes, I would like to.
So would I. May I ride with you too, please? After all, it was I who discovered the voice.
Yes, we can all ride together.
Yes, let's all ride together. That sound. Such a sound. It gives me such peace.
And so they went on in the constable's rickety carriage, rolling over snow-coated cobblestones in the unforgiving chill of that night. Their four weary hearts beating as one, longing for the peace that came from the sound that they sought after.
Oh, holy night.
Where could that voice be coming from?
We've been all over the village.
There's a chapel. Could it be coming from inside the chapel?
Impossible.
There's no light coming from inside the chapel.
Whoever is singing is out of doors, that I am sure of. We must be getting closer.
We must keep going. It's getting louder. It's getting clearer. And it's so beautiful.
Yes.
Yes.
But there's really nothing else past the chapel. Nothing but the... Maybe we should turn back.
No, we must keep going. Please, Constable.
I'm getting a very strange feeling.
We must be brave.
It is a holy song. We have nothing to fear.
Please, press on, Constable. Press on into the graveyard.
The carriage rolled onto the narrow, snowy path, leading to the small graveyard a quarter of a mile south of the chapel. Fork-shaped slices of moonlight slid over the humble gravestones, and sure enough, it was here that they heard it.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay
that voice, that song, clear, austere, sacred. It surrounded them from all sides and rang beautiful reverberations in every corner of their souls.
It's lovely, but why do I tremble so? Tell me, what is inscribed on the stone that we're standing before?
Be not afraid. I go before thee always.
Come follow me.
And I will give you rest.
Let us all bow our heads.
Paper flowers at the foot of this lonely grave.
I think I understand now. This is where the voice is coming from all along. We all heard it. We all felt it, but how? This is the grave of...
We lost her on this very night, 3 years ago.
On Christmas Eve.
Our love.
She was our joy.
Our daughter.
Our daughter.
She had the most beautiful of voices.
The voice that we all just heard.
And that was the song that she loved to sing the most.
Let us bow our heads.
Oh! Look!
Oh, what a... beautiful bird.
Perched on the gravestone. What colors. I've never seen a bird like that before.
And look there.
Just then, What seemed like an invisible finger started slowly to etch, to inscribe something in the untouched snow in front of the gravestone where the paper flowers were laid.
Oh, I'm so frightened.
What does it say?
Together. Always.
Just then, the great, brilliant, colored bird spread its wings, and a shimmering ray from the brightest star of the sky came down from the heavens and lit upon the unwashed face of the little flower girl. And for a moment, she looked just like...
Papa, look.
I never realized.
She looks... just like her, doesn't she?
Yes.
How could I have been so blind? So cruel? I thought all the love had died in my heart ever since. Child.
Yes?
Please, if you can, forgive me. Forgive me. Take my hand.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Come with me, child. Come with us.
Yes. Come with us.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Please. From this night onward, call me mother. And let us be together. Always.
ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Martina De Silva and Ms. Nicole Zoraitis. What a lovely conclusion to tonight's program. We do hope that you enjoyed it. Let's have a huge hand for our singularly superlative cast. Ms. Courtney Gillian Cholovich. Mr. James Reeser. Ms. Annabelle Rollison. Mr. Michael Pate. Our live musical score was improvised and performed by the mighty Mr. Steve Blanco. Our amazing vocalists this evening have been Ms. Martina De Silva and Ms. Nicole Zoraitis. Our theme is by BAFTA award-winning composer Mr. Jason Graves. Find out more information about this dear Mr. Jason Graves, including links to his Twitters and Facebooks and things, at jasongraves.com. Our production sound designer and sound effects engineer was the incomparable Mr. Greg Russ. Special thanks to the amazing and most deliciously delightful staff here at the Slipper Room. Our show was written by Mr. Sylvan Sandovar and Mrs. Rebecca Graves. It was produced by myself, Mr. Daniel Graves, Mrs. Rebecca Graves, and Mr. Gustavo Rodriguez. We return to the Slipper Room for a special show on Monday. I repeat, Monday. Monday, 26th of January at 8 p.m. Monday. We call it the apartment complex. Sure to be exciting. Tickets are on sale now at slipperroom.com. For all things Fireside, including links to our celebrated podcast and show listings and lots of other fun stuff, simply go to firesidemysterytheater.com. You can also find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitters, Instagrams, Vines, the etc. This is your very own Ali Silva. I wish all of you and all of yours a very happy, festive, fabulous, and safe holiday season. As the embers of the fire die down amid the empty stockings and shreds of discarded wrapping paper, don't ignore that curious draft floating in from the window like an icy finger tapping at your shoulder. And be sure to mind the shadows. Thank you. Thank you.